We good. We recording. I am hoarding like A&E. These meth addicts, they got a pee in a bucket. They don't throw out their garbage and they have dead cats in their freezer. Your mom's is meaner, your dad's is cleaner. I am a beaner, I am a rice, I am Andrew Dice Clay. That was a really bad freestyle.
What you talking about, boy?
I was talking about the show Hoarders on A&E. This is the Cap Figure Podcast, episode 59. I'm Ryan DePaula. Who are you?
Thomas McLaughlin.
All right. So, Thomas. Many exciting baseball things. The White Sox and the Yankees made trades.
One trade
for multiple pieces.
Couple of players.
And then we even have some humorous banter. We got lots. I got to tell you again while you're wrong about the Quintana trade, evidenced by his first start. Yo Moncada started. The standings are wacky. And then we're going to talk about the World Series odds on my bookie's website, but it's probably the same in Vegas. But first, Tom, can you tell me some baseball players who wore number 59?
We got current day Carlos Carrasco.
Who's current day? Oh, current day.
Current day. Player.
I thought that was like a current day Carlos.
Current day, the right fielder.
Carlos Carrasco.
We got Carlos Carrasco.
How many wins he's been worth in his career?
14 over 8 years.
Okay.
The player to wear 59 the longest is Todd Jones with 15 years. Other than that, the number is totally devoid of talent, but it's worth noting that...
Dude, this is worse than 58 with Papelbon.
It's almost worse, yeah. Or it probably is worse.
What's it worth noting?
That Felix Hernandez and Justin Verlander both wore the number 59 when they came up to the majors, and then I think they got legit enough to... you know, get a real number.
To get a low-digit number? Yeah. I know we've talked about this a while ago, but it's funny that low numbers are legit. I wonder if Aaron Judge gonna change that, or if he's gonna change his number too, right? Because he's 99, Avi. There's something cool. I think Todd Frazier wants 88, right? Because of that, I think that Todd Frazier's gonna wear like...
Well, Clint Frazier's wearing 77.
So that's
now.
What it is. Todd Frazier wants 88 because he wants the three of them to be like that. I'm 90% sure that's what he's doing. So speaking of Todd Frazier, he's on the Yankees, man. How did this happen and what was this deal? I'm gonna act like I don't know, even though I sort of honestly really don't know the details, but I do know that the Yankees got better, I reckon.
Yeah, so let's go through the basics, themselves, and then we'll unpack from both sides.
All right.
So the Yankees acquired Todd Frazier, third base, first baseman, David Robertson, who was the closer for the White Sox, former Yankee closer. And then also the Yankees also received Tommy Canley, who's a 27-year-old.
Having a great year, right?
Reliever, yeah, who's... 60 strikeouts in 32 innings.
Wow.
Also,
is he left-handed?
He's right-handed.
Okay.
What's interesting to note is Tommy Canley was actually a Rule 5 pick. He was in the Yankees organization, and the White Sox took him in the Rule 5 draft. And so he's back with the Yankees.
I just got distracted because my boss just texted me. Not sure why you think you can send someone home early. Two people close together on all show nights. Don't do it again because there's this.
Don't do it.
Sorry.
All right. So the White Sox.
You don't need
return,
to repeat everything you said.
The White Sox got Blake Rutherford, who's the centerpiece of the deal. He was a first round pick last year. He was the best hitter in the draft last year. 20-year-old outfielder.
The best hitter in the draft last year?
Yeah, he was the best pure hitter in
the
draft.
Oh, like Kyle Schwarber? Like, he doesn't really have a position?
Right.
Okay.
Well, he actually will be an outfielder, but the White Sox also received Ian Clarkin, who's a left-handed starter in high A ball. Tito Polo, who's a speedy young outfielder, but by no means, I don't think he's going to make it to the majors. And also the White Sox got Tyler Clippard.
Oh, wow. Okay. And so how many are any of those guys in the top 100? Like,
yeah, Blake Rutherford, the first one I mentioned, he was, I think, as high as 32 in the start of the season. He's a great hitter. He may actually even be a center fielder. Eventually, I think they're going to move him to either left or right field, but he's definitely the centerpiece of that trade.
Well, my first reaction, if I'm pretending that I never heard this, which I sort of am, but if, like that's a light load. I mean, I guess Todd Frazier is having a bad season. He's hitting like 200. I like him. We'll get into that in a minute. But what do people seem to think? What's the consensus? Like, who won the deal, quote unquote? Like, is it a fair trade on both sides? Does it feel like one way or the other? How long is left on their contracts?
Well, so that's worth noting. Todd Frazier is a free agent at the end of this season.
Okay.
David Robertson has one more year.
But
under
a cheap price for his deal, no?
Well, I think he's making $13 million next year.
Oh, okay. Something, so never mind. Yeah, that's more than I thought.
So the White Sox wanted to shed salary. Tommy Canley, though, has 4 years left under control, and if he pitches anything like he is this year, that's a great piece. A lot of people have mentioned, and I think kind of makes sense. I almost agree with it. He's probably the most valuable part of the deal for the Yankees long term, because you're getting a reliever with 4 years of team control, whereas Frazier looks like a rental.
Right.
And Robertson, yeah, he's a very good relief pitcher, but you have to pay him a lot next year.
Right. I'm looking for his salary right now. Let's see. Yeah, he's set to make $13 million next year. You're right. Just as I should have expected out of you. He was the closer the year after Mariano. He was the first closer after Mariano. Had a great year, but the Yankees let him go, right? And then emerged Betances and Andrew Miller.
Yep. They let him go. They got a compensation pick, and then they signed Andrew Miller for less than David Robertson.
I don't remember what the hell was going on with the stupid White Sox, that they thought they were good enough to buy a closer 3 years ago or whatever.
Well, remember, they were always on the verge of contending, and they make these trades. So they completely devoided their farm system of talent to get Todd Frazier, Melky Cabrera.
Oh, yeah, they were
James
Shields. Oh, my God, the Shields deal. But now you like where they're at, right? You texted me. You mentioned something that they have, what, 11 out of the top, what is it? 11 out of the top 65?
11 of the top 65 prospects.
That's amazing. That's great. They redid their jump off.
Including number one overall.
And they got rid of that idiot Adam LaRoche, who wants to have a kid with him, right?
Yeah, so,
they got rid of Chris Sale, the bitch.
I would say the Yankees won this trade. I was surprised that they had to give up so little to get these players.
Right.
Because the main reason being, the Red Sox were in on this as well. The Red Sox need a third baseman, and the Red Sox also need relief pitchers. So, you know, when I heard that the news was breaking, oh, Todd Frazier and David Robertson going to the Yankees, I was expecting, like, oh, my God, did we have to give up Gleyber Torres, even though he's injured right now?
Right.
I was expecting to give up, you know, maybe two or three of those top 100 guys.
Right.
To get away with, you know, Rutherford.
What about Clint Frazier? Would you give up him, like, for them?
Well, that's another point is, like, Rutherford, yes, he's maybe the number 30 prospect, but he's at least 4 years away from being a major league player.
Yeah, Clint Frazier having had a week of success is worth 10 times
more.
The amount.
Absolutely.
just because of that week. It's
absolutely.
Like, okay, he can make it and he's hit.
He's there.
But
he's
do you think the Yankees would be willing? Like, would you, if you were the GM of the Yankees, give up Clint Frazier for a Todd Frazier rental and this other pieces? You know, this is similar to a, like, Cole Hamels deal with Texas a couple years ago, or the Quintana deal, where it's like partially for this year and partially for the future, right?
Yes.
Because, like you're saying, Canley is 4 years and Robertson's next year and Frazier's a rental and you need a third baseman now.
It's crazy. I mean, the Yankees, this trade, the Yankees got not a little bit better. They got significantly better.
Yeah, well, their bullpen is like
now we have
by far
guns.
The best in baseball now, right?
We have four top guns out of the bullpen.
Was it the best in baseball already before?
I don't think so, just because Betances and Chapman have kind of been rocky as of late, but
Tyler Clippard's a good flyer, though, no, for them, for the White Sox?
He has like a 10 ERA the last month. But
so
yeah,
does
I mean,
Frazier sucks this year, too.
He's filling
in
as a closer. So, I mean, yeah, it's okay. I think the reason he was included in that deal was to help balance out the salary.
So Todd Frazier, let's talk about him, man. I mean, he's the third base. He's your boy, Chase Headley, who you love. You know, you said it was a great move giving him $56 million, even though he's only had one good year ever. I'm kind of trolling you with that for people who don't know, but you've defended it. He had a great first month of the season. He was all the rage. They were talking about how he could go the other way with his hits and whatnot, And then he just fell off back to himself. And then in the last, like, 2 weeks, he's being good again. But I don't know. I think he's hitting, like, 240, right? He's, like, bad again.
He's not good at all. The Yankees have had they've had the worst production out of first base in the league this season, and they're third worst in production from third base.
Oh, wow. Well, so yeah, Chase Headley's OPS has been 7-11. But wait, why are you mentioning first base in this? Because Chase Headley and Todd Frazier both can play first, right?
Correct.
So one of them, Headley being the current third base starter for the Yankees, is going to move to first, you'd assume. Right.
Yeah, he played there last night.
Given how bad Greg Bird and Chris Carter and...
Well, Bird's injured again.
No, I mean on this whole season, how bad they've been. It's like first base has been a spot of need. Yeah, and so this is, you know, Chase Headley's OPS is 7-11 this year, and Frazier's is like 7.57, but he hits 200. I mean, it's funny that they go back, they get another, like, hitting 200 type of guy. Yeah, like a Chris Carter, three-true outcome guy.
Well,
but he definitely helps. But why not put him at first? I thought Headley was a better defender.
No, I think Frazier's actually a better defender. Headley fields the ball well, but his arm has significantly fallen off. So I think the thinking behind it is you move Headley, you have the better arm at third base. You know, the point I'm trying to make with Frazier is I had a bunch of people who are also Yankee fans literally tell me the same thing. Like, oh, we got a guy who's hitting 200. He's not any good.
Right. I heard people on the radio saying
his
that.
His on-base percentage is, I mean, I don't know if you want to look it up.
I will.
It's probably, I think it's like 310 or 320. So that means he walks a lot. That's exactly what we need.
Yeah.
And if you have guys in front of you who can get on base, I think Frazier
dude,
is one
good.
Of those players who has a really high ceiling.
He
if
does.
He gets hot, like, towards the playoffs, he could hit 4 home runs in a series.
Yeah, man, that's how he rolls. So this year so far, he has 48 walks. He walks, like, 50 times a year, so it's not that much. But he's on base, is 328, and he's hitting 207, you know? And he's still slugging 432. His OPS, like I said, 777 or something like that.
And don't forget, he had a hand injury at the end of last season. That's not an easy thing to come back from.
He's a career, like, 780 OPS guy. He's a good contributing player. But listen to this. To your point about how hot he can get, he's somebody who traditionally has had really, really hot first halves and then fallen off in the last couple of years.
Yes.
But this year, maybe it'll be reversed, we hope. Let me look up his splits from last year. So pre-All-Star, he was about the same last year. His OPS was 782. It would be more like for the first 2 months of the season, something like that. And for that, he hit all his home runs, basically. In the first 2 months of last year, he hit 16 of his whatever. I'm all over the place. Anyway, so he could get very hot. He could help. But I don't understand now, though, you have Chase Headley at first base. You only upgraded in one spot because you only got one player. You can't say you upgraded in two places, right, when you get one player.
No, of course not. But what it does is it opens up the optionality. So if we make another move, now we can get a first baseman.
Yeah, you could pick up Matt
baseman.
Adams type guy, anybody
right.
who's home unemployed, right?
Right.
Chris Carter for the third time, maybe?
I hope not.
What team is he on now?
He, I think, got signed by the Brewers minor league organization. I could be wrong, but we also acquired this guy, Garrett Cooper, last week in exchange for a minor league reliever, Tyler Webb, from the Brewers. He had an OPS of 1,100 at AAA.
Garrett Cooper.
Yes.
And he's been playing.
He's been hitting decently well. I don't know
it's
if
only
he's
been
gonna
like
stick,
a week, right?
But,
yeah.
Hey, I mean, if he sticks at first, then Headley's gone.
Dude, Headley, if this is the move, like, Todd Frazier's a better third baseman, Headley is valueless. Like, he is hitting 240. He's a 700 OPS first baseman who's good defensively. That's below replacement level probably, right?
And I've heard arguments of people saying, oh, well, keep Hedley on. He's a switch hitter, and, you know, he could play multiple positions. But the reality is, like, with a utility person, you want them to play shortstop and second base, not third and first base.
Yeah, third and first, or at least play second. Like, third and first is not our utility. First, second, third, like a I'll take, or whatever, or outfield and second. So here's what it was. In 2015, as an example, Todd Frazier had a 922 OPS pre-All-Star and post-All-Star 664, and he does this a lot. Another person who got cut, speaking of Chris Carter and probably Chase Hedley, Rob Refsnyder got DFA'd, or are they just talking about that?
Oh, he got designated for assignment. I guess he must be out of options.
I'm not sure. Yeah, that must be the case. Was he back up recently? I'll look it up, because I thought...
He played in the big leagues this year.
He sucked. He had an attitude, they said, huh?
Yeah, well, the problem was
The problem was our farm system is too deep here at the Yankees.
Well, he was a good hitter, but he didn't really have a true position. He played second base at University of Arizona.
Yeah.
And the Yankees, what Cashman wanted him to do was to become a utility player. And I think he didn't view himself as a utility. I think he had that old school mentality, like, I'm not a utility player. I play every day.
Right. They did designate him for assignment.
Okay.
He's out of options.
So he's gone. I mean, somebody's going to pick him up.
It's crazy. It's that they call him a first baseman in this. And again, like you're saying, if you don't have a position and you hit, he has an OPS of 643 in all his major league games, which is what, 94. That's enough to be like, dude, you're out. You know, our farm system's too deep, bro. What are we gonna do? We got Clint Frazier. I don't know. And also Asians. There's really only three Asians. How many Asians are in baseball? There's Kurt Suzuki. Name some others.
Yu Darvish, Masahiro Tanaka, Shin-Soo Choo.
Japanese. That's messed up with me. I forgot about the Japans.
Shin-Soo Choo.
Who else?
Ichiro.
You know what I learned about this week?
Iwakuma.
You know what I learned about besides Asians in baseball? I learned about holds, right? You know the stat hold? I don't know if you ever heard of it.
I did.
But I learned what I'm about to say. One is that it's not an official stat. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
I didn't, yeah.
Yeah, but two, that when people, commentators, will make the stupid-ass argument that, oh, this guy's not cut out for a closer because his blown save rate is this, you get a blown save. If you're Dellin Betances and you come in and a one-run lead in the eighth inning and give up the lead, even though you had no chance to get the save, because they were going to put in Chapman in the ninth inning. If you give up the lead, you get a blown save.
So your
blown save to save ratio sucks. It should be your blown save to hold ratio. I never realized that when I looked at, not that I ever bought into guys saying he doesn't have ninth inning makeup. It's just an interesting thing. That's what I learned.
So Betances' blown save ratio is probably horrible.
Yeah, it's blown save to save ratio. Right, exactly, which is not fair. But he has been struggling. Are you worried about him? Is Dave Robertson going to replace him as the eighth inning guy?
I honestly hope so, because I think Betances' best role is to be
a
fireman.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you think Girardi has the balls, or would it hurt Betances' ego if Girardi started doing that? Betances, by the way, who's a traitor and played for the Dominican Republic in the World Baseball Classic.
I don't think so. Look, the ideal situation.
Wow, you just casually say, I don't think he has the balls. I don't think Joe Girardi has balls.
The best situation would be if Chapman were the fireman.
Right,
because he's the one lefty out of the bullpen that I really trust.
Well, who else
Jason
is even
Shreve.
Lefty?
He's okay. I mean, he's good. He's an above-average reliever. But Chapman playing that role makes the most sense, because then you have three lights-out righties.
Right.
So...
Yeah, it's not like, you don't get to design that in the ninth inning. It's Cano and Kyle Seager are coming up. You know, you don't get to pick that. That's why it's retarded to begin with. So Betances this year, his whip is 133 compared to his career whip of 1.04. What?
I'm not worried about it.
You're
not?
All right, man. I don't know. I might just try to troll you and be worried. Oh, remember before the season? Maybe that's why he's doing bad, is because they're assholes, the Yankees. And what did they say? They were like, we're not paying him. He doesn't have saves.
Yeah, the arbitration.
Randy Levine. Old man Randy.
That
All right.
guy.
So the thing about the White Sox, here's something else interesting. Looking at the standings before we will get into the World Series odds, the standings are crazy how much closer the AL is than the NL. For the wild card, the White Sox, who have the worst record in the entire American League, are 10 games out of the wild card, the second wild card. In the National League, these are all the teams 10 games out or more. The Mets, 11 games out. Miami, 12 games out. San Diego, 14 games out. Cincinnati, 15 games out. San Francisco, 19 games out. And Philadelphia, 22 games out. In the AL, like I said, it's the White Sox at 10 games out. And then better than that, Oakland at 6.5 games out. That's crazy. The Cubs, who are the first team out of the wild card in the NL, are 6 games out. They're the same as the second-to-last place team in the AL.
Wow.
Right now, it's Arizona and Colorado in the wild cards, and the division winners, Washington, Milwaukee, and the Dodgers. And in the AL, the division winners are Boston, Cleveland, and Houston. And the wild cards right now are the Yankees and Tampa Bay. So, given this, I'm going to ask you what your thoughts are on the World Series odds. Who do you think is favored? Guess who's favored?
Dodgers.
Well, let's see. I don't know because they're not in order of favorite. I think it's the Astros and the Dodgers are tied at plus 400. Then next is the Red Sox, who I would love to bet on. I really do love them, as I did before the season.
Nationals.
But I can't. Then the Nationals, right. They're both tied at plus 500. Then, this is silly, the Cubs are plus 600. I don't like that. Let me know, you know, stop me when you want to place a bet. And then after that, it looks like it is the... Oh, also the Indians are plus 500.
That does not make sense to me.
Yeah, they're only 3 games above 500, right?
That doesn't make any... I mean, I think we've talked about this before, but with these odds... The way I look at it is, like, the only argument I can make for the Indians being plus 500 is there's a really good chance they're going to get to the playoffs.
Right.
Because that's half of the battle, right?
They're only 3 games up in their division also.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Oh, right. So, oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah, that would be the only case to make, and that's not even so true right now.
Right.
Although their division sucks. Then next is the Yankees, and they're tied with the Diamondbacks, who I'm tempted to like, at plus 1,000, so 10 to 1. A week ago, the Yankees were tied with the Indians at plus 500, but you've been bad lately, right?
Yeah.
Well,
that's another trade that the Diamondbacks got J.D. Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big trade. I think he got injured.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, you hurt his hand right away, but that's a big trade.
That lineup is very scary.
Yeah, exactly. That's
Pollock,
the thing.
Goldschmidt,
and they're going
Jake
for it.
Lamb.
They may make another deal, and it's a good time to get in on them, right? I like them better than the Rockies.
I really like the Diamondbacks because think about their rotation. Grinke, I guess, is labeled as the ace, but the real ace of that staff is Robbie Ray
now. But even just the fact that they have those two guys, yeah.
But the one thing I'll say with the Diamondbacks is they're going to play in the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I like who – they have two great starting pitchers. I don't know if I like their ace versus who they would play.
Well, it's the Rockies right now.
Then I do like it.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Rockies are their competitor in the wild card. And it actually, though, you know, the odds are seemed everyone, including Vegas, thinks it will end up being the Cubs who they face. Well, not necessarily, because the Cubs will probably pass the Brewers, right, for the wild card. But it's tough because the Brewers are 52-46, and the Cubs are 49-46. You know, they're 3 games back. Either way, the Cubs are 6 games out of the wild card right now. Colorado and Arizona are up by 6 games on anyone else.
So the Cubs, if they want to make the playoffs, they almost have to win the division.
Right, right. They're twice as close to getting in by winning the division than the wild card.
Six games is a lot at this point.
Yeah, man. And so, therefore, I like Arizona at 10-1. And you know what? Honestly, the Rockies, no, I don't like them at all. They're plus 1,500 as they should be. And they're tied with, who else do you think is around this range? Maybe the Twins? What are the Twins' odds? Plus 5,000.
Wow. Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, the AL West, it's the Astros and then everybody else.
Yeah.
The Rays are probably, what, plus 3,500?
Let's see.
5,000?
The Rays are la, 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 plus 5,000. That's a good bet. They're in the wild card today.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why not? That's worth that's 50 yeah, to 1.
Throw some cash on that, boy.
Yo, I will. You want me to throw some D's on that bet? I'll throw some cash on that.
About 350.
All right.
$3.50.
The minimum's 25, though. You want to bet on any of these?
Nah.
The Royals plus 3,500. The Marlins. So, J.D. Martinez, do you like that deal? Everyone says that the Tigers didn't get enough back, but they were. Then the counterpoint was the market for – there's a bunch of bats, outfield bats, right now at this trade deadline. I can't think of any others off the top of my head. Help me. But that because of that, that the market is not going to be that crazy, right?
I don't think that argument is true at all because, like you're saying, off the top of my head, I don't know.
Jay Bruce, the Mets will trade Jay Bruce is one.
But J.D. Martinez, I think, gets very underrated.
Yeah.
He literally has an OPS against left-handed pitchers of 1,100.
Dude, he's been excellent the last couple years, and maybe he's underrated by all the teams, and then everybody, including reporters the other day, were like, let's look at his stats. And they're like, wait, they didn't get enough.
Yeah, no, look, there was on MLB Network, before he got traded, they showed, like, five players' stats, and they didn't show their faces. And
oh, that's a fun game.
J.D. Martinez was on par with Miguel Cabrera and, like, the top hitters in the game. So I don't think they got enough at all. I mean, look.
Yeah, they got three, like, high A. They got one guy who's closer than the others, but there are two, like, high A guy pitchers, all, like, Spanish dudes who are 19, right?
Yeah, they're all very, very far. And that's one thing where I think maybe people don't necessarily pay as much attention to is, like, we get caught up in the top 100 prospects, but you have to remember – there's a huge difference between a top 100 prospect who is at AAA and a top 100 prospect who is at single A. The risk factor is like five times as much.
It's like a poker tournament, right, where you need – they're called shootouts, where you need to win your table before you move to the next table. Like it's tables of 10, and you have to finish first at your table, and then you go to another table with nine other winners, and it's another table of 10. Making it from single A to AAA is like doing that twice. Even though there's percentage odds of it, it's a big, big difference. J.D. Martinez career stats. No, this year he's hitting .302 with 16 homers. His OPS is 1,000.
And he was injured for a while.
Yeah, man. His career stats, .283, you know, .834 OPS.
The career stats won't do it justice because that dramatic improvement happened when he went to Detroit.
Right. But in 2014, he had a .912 OPS, 2015, .879, and last year, .908. That's a really good player. People are talking about the Mets in the offseason maybe getting him before the Yoenis.
Well, he's a free agent this offseason. So.
Well, I don't know if we'll spend the money, but I wish we would. Speaking of free agents, Manny Machado. So apparently the Orioles, I know we talked about Manny last week. He sucks donkey cock. But the Orioles are willing to talk about trading Zach Britton, they said, and Brad Brock and whoever. But the reports are not Manny Machado yet, which makes no sense to me. What are they thinking? Or is this just an angle? Or what should they do?
Well, it's an interesting situation because organizationally, now is the time you would absolutely want to trade him because if you wait till next year, and he's going to be a free agent after that year, you're going to get a lot less. But he's not the elite player he was last year or a couple of years before.
That's
so
a good point.
What are you going to get in return? But I still...
But you know, you think you said last week that the Manny Machado transcends selling low. Like his value doesn't matter that he's had a bad season, right?
I think now is the time you absolutely have to trade him because I think that teams... With a player like that, I think teams are willing to sort of take that risk. I don't know if they would pay top of market value, but whatever value you're going to get from trading Manny Machado, even if he's an MVP next year, when he's going to be an impending free agent, you're going to get a lot less than like one.
What about the offseason, though? When there's time to, you know, really angle teams against each other.
That's fair. I think that having the ability to have him for two playoff runs, though, makes buyers a lot more enticed.
Yes, but that has to be their plan, though, right now, is to wait for the offseason, I would imagine. I don't think...
Right, because then you get all of the teams, but...
But then you look at it like they made the playoffs last year. We forget. The Orioles made the playoffs last year, and then obviously they didn't put in Britton and Blue in the wild card game to Toronto. Like, they've been in this purgatory for the last couple years where they're close enough. But they're not now, but...
I see what you're saying, too, when, like, you wait till the offseason and you get 30 teams bidding on each other, but... the way the playoff race is shaping up, I think it only helps the Orioles' sort of rationale for trading him, because I think trading Machado, you'd want to trade him. I think it makes more sense to trade him to a big market team, because then that team has the confidence they can re-sign him. Because that's always part of the equation, right?
It makes more sense for the team getting him. You mean it makes more sense? Yeah.
Yeah. So, but if you look at the teams that are in the race right now, look, you've got Boston, New York, Los Angeles, Dodgers. So you have the Cubs too. Like, you got the big market teams. So those teams that are interested in Machado, I think now they should very much consider selling.
Did you say the Cubs?
Yeah,
well, put Chris Bryant on left field every day.
Yeah.
But what more, like, here's the flip side, is that, one, you look at, like, Jay Bruce or something, right, where everybody was saying the Reds window before the All-Star game 2 years ago, they waited and didn't sell their pieces because they wanted to have these good players for the All-Star game while they're it was in Cincinnati that year. Some stupid logic, and that they waited past their window. And then they traded some pieces, but not Jay Bruce, because he was having a really bad year. They waited till he was having a great year last year, and then they got a lot more for him than they would have. But, like you're saying, Manny Machado, maybe given how good he's been and what a high prospect he is and how young he is, transcends his dip in performance.
Yes.
Do you think, in reality, teams believe, like, you said that you think his price may be a little cheaper now. Do you think that that's because teams can use that as an angle, or do you think that teams are actually a little bit worried due to his performance this year?
I think you have to be a little bit worried.
Like, you at this point now, you actually genuinely value him a little less?
I think you kind of have to.
I do, because it's still a long slump. We're past the All-Star break.
Unless you know there's some underlying, like, injury that will be
or
healed.
Or like a Bryce year last year, you hope.
Yeah, or, like... It could be a situation where, like, he just absolutely hates Baltimore, and maybe, like, you think that that change in scenery will, like, help him snap out of it. I'm not saying it will, but I think you have to, you're not going to pay what you would have paid last year for him.
Right.
What I'm saying with the Orioles, and I think you agree as well, is if they're going to trade one guy, they have to trade both.
Yeah, they all got to be on the table, right?
Like, you have to trade them all. You can't just, you know, trade Britton and Brock and then hold on to Machado, because if you let go of Britton and Brock, you're not a contender next year.
Right. Exactly. It's only about next year.
Britton is a free agent after next year as well. What you're going to get from a dominant relief pitcher with another year of control is a lot more than what you're going to get from...
We'll get Andrew Miller last year.
Yeah,
or
Andrew Miller.
Not
exactly.
Not that he's as good. But yeah, you're absolutely right. We'll wrap up. But the last thing I just want to say, I hear this point about Manny Machado in general, is like, when you're a team and you know you're not going to re-sign the player, that you might as well trade them and get something. That's stupid to me in and of itself. It's only given that they're not that good. Because if they were close or going to be good this year and next year, that's so stupid. What's it all for? Like, just keep him and do an Albert Pujols with the Cardinals. Like, maybe you win the World Series and then let him walk.
Well,
but given if you suck, it's like, let's get something for this guy.
The value proposition, I think, becomes a lot different. When you're a contender, if you can make that World Series run, the value of your regional sports contract, as well as the amount of season tickets you can sell, I think... it's another added bonus on top of it. So I totally agree with you. Like, you can't just keep selling, you know, like, if you have the chance to do it, you got to do it now.
Right. or even if you're just a little bit good, it's like a year of Manny Machado is worth any. It's like
what, but I don't think they I right. don't view them as a legitimate contender.
But I get what you're saying, like the Marlins or somebody, like just sell infinitely. It's like get a young player and then trade him for prospects and then get a young player and trade him for or the 76ers or some crap. All right, so that's it. Anyone else? Any other big trades you see coming? Make a prediction. Who else?
Well, I still stand by. I think Machado is going to be traded, and I think the Cardinals would be a good fit.
You really think that's your prediction?
I think it's a very real possibility. Yeah.
All right. I think that Chris Sale and no, wait. I want to start over. I think Justin Verlander and Justin Upton are going to be a package deal for Joe Mauer. No, I don't know.
Here's an interesting one. Justin Verlander to the Dodgers for Julio Urias.
If they paid some of it, maybe. Or if Verlander has a couple good starts, they would do that. I don't know if Urias...
Maybe you throw in Upton. Well, Upton has the contract issue as well.
Well, but the Dodgers need an outfielder, and they can pay. So that's actually a good... That would be a good spot for my two-guy deal. It's like Verlander and Upton... For Urias, I don't think the Dodgers would give up Urias. They would give up.
He's out for the season, elbow injury.
Still though, man. I mean, what about Jock Peterson or some young crappy guy, some Herb?
Give All right, Kike Hernandez.
Oh my
and
God,
Yasmani.
Or Scott Van Slyke. Yeah, just pile on the garbage. Like
Andre
this idiot
Ethier.
In our fantasy league offered me for you, Darvish. He offered me Brett Gardner, who I just dropped. Who else? David Robertson, who's no longer a closer.
Yeah, he just
in
lost
a safe
the closing
league.
Job.
And who was the third guy? Some other garbage. Oh, Chris Davis. No.
No, not even.
Who the hell was it? Some other.
Kyle Freeland.
I don't even know who that is. He pitches at Coors.
Yeah.
Get out of my face. All right. Goodbye, guys. This is it. Leave a review. Call us. Call me. 917-714. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say the rest.
Peace.
Bye.